Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today the subject I've been looking at all week and trying to answer a question: what time is it? What are the times we're living in? How do we read the signs of the times? And how does the church understand the times we're living in? How does Christ understand the times we're living in? And how do we make the most of our time? It's a difficult time to be clear-headed. We're living in chaotic and confusing times. The times we're living in seems to be scaring people quite a bit. A lot of people seem to be losing their marbles, losing hold of reality. It's a destabilizing and a shaking that's happening in society. It's in part because of what I talked about yesterday. And if you didn't have a chance to tune in yesterday to the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs right there on your computer. You can download them, put them on whatever device you can listen to at your own leisure, or you can just get the app at Ave Maria Radio or Renewal Ministries and just listen to them on your app. But what I essentially talked about yesterday was what historians call the collapse of Christendom, that what we're seeing is the overthrow of 1600 years of living with a moral and spiritual imaginative vision we talked about that undergirded all of reality, a narrative, a story. You might say the story of God. We understood all of human life in relationship to God in some way. I mentioned even growing up as a little boy as an example of how Christendom works its way down. It's not just a set of high ideas, but it works its way down into the culture. The culture is the way of life of a people. It's what people value. It's the pattern of life they build around what they value. And one of the examples that's so concrete, that kind of shows the change, there's a bunch of them, but one of them is how we deal with Sundays. When I was a little boy, pretty much the whole town was shut down. Not just because, you know, store owners happen to be Christian, but nobody wanted to shop, or maybe they wanted to shop, but they didn't shop because they wanted to honor the Lord's Day and not make it just another ordinary day and doing commerce and doing work and doing business, but setting it aside in obedience to the Lord and in it to give to God what is God's, to honor Him on that day, and to gather your family and share in that rest with God to refresh us to be able to take up the dignity of human work on the next day. So, I mean, that's the kind of the ground and the idea behind it, but that's all been overthrown now. Sunday's just another day. It's a sports day. I mean, lots of people don't work on Sunday, but it's turned into a day of consuming, of sports, of entertainment, and in an ever-increasing way, the whole idea of liturgy, the whole idea of mass and church attendance is getting pushed to the margins for more and more people. Why is that happening? Because there's a battle going on for what story, what narrative, what moral and spiritual imaginative vision is going to shape the culture. I won't go through all that I talked about yesterday, talked about the rise of a secular culture, what's at the heart of it. And toward the end of the program, began to dial in more to understanding that the overthrow of God, if you will, or pushing God to the human horizon, as Pope Benedict XVI talked about it, and the willful suppression of God's claim and God's truth over us as a way of what shall I say, fighting God, of declaring my own territory. I'm the master, not you. I'm the designer of my life, not you. There is no God. There is no such thing as God. So what we've been doing for the past 1,500 or 3,500 years or whatever it is we've been subjecting ourselves collectively to the will of certain people who are making something up, the make-believe God, the spaghetti God in the sky or whatever, right? And we've had it. We're done with that. I am my own master. I've got, the clock is ticking. I only have so much time, and I'm going to design reality the way I want to. So the idea of receiving our identity from God, finding in that being created in the image and likeness of God and living in God's creative order, instead of it being freeing and beautiful and full of, you know, goodness, beauty, and all of that, it becomes a threat to me. God becomes my enemy, and the things of God I have to deconstruct, I have to get rid of them. It's important to see that, because what now is becoming the air we breathe in our society, and it's impacting us, if we're not alert to it, if we don't fight it and resist it, is a way of life that's alien to God. It's deadly. It destroys the life of God in us. It's a way of living as if God doesn't exist. And so, as St. Peter said, we have to be alert. We have to be awake. We have to live soberly. We have to be discerning so that we can obey God and make the most of the time that we're living in. You know, the Christian worldview, instead of insisting the ego and the drive, insisting of creating our own utopia, some idea. It's interesting, there's a religious idea, I didn't mention this yesterday, the word utopia helps me remember. Instead of finding meaning that's given to us in creation, in created order, I mean, it takes a lot to deny that because it's everywhere, right? But it's being denied anyway, it's being replaced by a kind of secular utopianism and a faith of its own. That's why there's no neutral ground. There's no third way. There's either God's creative way or man's creative way, or man's view of the bigger picture. And secular utopianism is the kind of thing that's driving it today. It's belief that society, for example, it gets expressed that society is progressing. You know, it's getting better and better. Well, wait a minute. If there's no God, and there's no standard, if there's no God, there's no standard of goodness. If there's no meaning, there's no standard of goodness. It's impossible to say one way of life is better than another. If we're just matter in motion, and this is just a meaningless movement in time, and we're just going to kind of make the most of it, the idea that it's progressing somewhere doesn't make any sense. It's foolish. How could you even measure progress? That's why we have the kind of insanity of everybody naming their own reality, naming their own truth, articulating the meaning of life, marriage, identity, human sexuality, when life begins, when life ends, all that stuff is completely up for grabs. And we're now simultaneously, because of this larger vision that's being foisted upon us, utopian vision of reality, that we're affirming all of this madness at the same, all these self-contradictory things at the same time. It's a kind of madness that's going on. I just saw an article the other day that a TED talk was given in Germany by some law student or law professor, one or the other, now trying to tell us, you know, the next domino has fallen in the human sexuality area, now trying to tell us that pedophilia, that is adult, you know, sex with little children, is normal. That it's normal and that it's an exercise in intolerance and an imposition of morals, and it's imposition your reality on a pedophile to say that that is an unhealthy instinct, it's a perverted drive, and it's wrong. So he's in public, and they kept the TED talk up. I don't know if it's still up. I mean, it's insanity, it's madness, but it flows from a larger idea of what reality is and the refusal to accept design and purpose as God has given to us and denying the moral conscience that God has given to us as well. You know, Pope Benedict had a beautiful, beautiful expression about Christian identity. I mean, we Christians look at it totally different than secularists are looking at it. To receive our identity from God and from Christ is a source of immense dignity. It's a joy. It's profound. It's the only thing that can actually fill the human heart. So to receive it and to walk in it and to live in it is not degrading. It's not humiliating. It's not foolish, but it's wisdom itself. The secular world will see, no. If you have to receive your identity from somewhere else, if you're not your own master, the master and creator of your own identity, you're not free. And if you're not free, you're not living a life that's worth living. Blah, 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 blah. That's kind of how it goes. And here's something Pope Benedict said that I think is so true. He says, Christian identity is composed of precisely two elements. This restraint from seeking oneself by oneself. Okay, the restraint in us to say, look, I'm not going to pretend God doesn't exist, and I'm not going to pretend I'm my own creator. I'm obviously not. So I'm not going to play those foolish games in order to simply do what I want to do and assert my will over and against God and reality itself. So that's what he's saying. He's saying this restraint from seeking oneself for oneself, but instead receiving oneself from Christ. I don't have to run around day after day and buy one identity after another and to convince people I'm something I'm not. I'm made to receive. My identity is a gift. And it's filled with meaning and dignity and eternal purpose and value because it comes from the one who's eternal. And it comes from love. So it doesn't degrade me. It doesn't strip me of my freedom. It's a pathway into freedom. It's the most important thing I can have. Everything if I create every identity you create in this world, guess what? It's going to pass away. It's going to pass away. The only thing that's going to last is what God has given to us. So wake up. Be wise, right? The second thing he said, not only receiving oneself from Christ, but giving oneself then with Christ. And Jesus shows us on the cross and the whole pattern of life that he lived. And his way was vindicated in his resurrection from the dead. That the way of love, the way of self-donating love, willing the good of the other as other, saying yes, and accepting truth as it comes to us in reality as God has made it and designed it. This is not only sanity, but in Jesus, we see what a perfectly fulfilled and integrated human life looks like. And a life that's directed toward true purpose and meaning. We receive it from Christ, and we give it away as Christ gave it away. He said, thereby participating in the life of Christ himself to the point of identifying with him and sharing both his death and his life. Moreover, our radical belonging to Christ and the fact that we are in him must imbue in us an attitude of total trust and immense joy. In short, we must indeed exclaim with St. Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the reply is nothing and no one will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our Christian life, therefore, stands on the soundest and safest rock one can imagine. And from it, we draw all our energy, precisely as the apostles wrote, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. That's a Christian view of where we receive our identity. And it's an identity that doesn't change. It's an identity that roots us in a profound dignity. And it's a dignity that's unchanging. And we see the mark of this in some way in every person, and every person that's fallen and marred by sin, but called to absolute transformation and complete and unchanging dignity in the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is what's being attacked today. Christian identity. Each one of us must lay hold of it, live it, communicate it, preach it, love it, share it with others. That's the way to make the most of the time. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.